Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. This Thursday, we'll be celebrating our independence, reminds me, I didn't announce that we're closed on Thursday, just so you know. But we'll be celebrating our independence. We'll be celebrating our freedom as a nation, as a country, freedom from Great Britain, freedom from taxation without representation. Freedom to pursue the American dream, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But as we've seen, a freedom in this country can also become a freedom for immorality. Our freedoms have often led to abuses. Our freedoms have often led to sin. There's a quote from one of our founding fathers, John Adams, probably a quote to your many of you have heard before. It's become well known, especially over the last several years. I think even quoted in the Truth Project, if I remember correctly, where John Adams writes, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people." Now, Adams didn't argue by any means for a Christian nation in the sense that Christianity governed the land, but he did know that a free humanity outside of virtues and morality, often connected with religious living, would lead to abuses of freedom. It would lead to immoral behavior, debauchery, sinful behavior, divisions, and so on. And I think in many ways we've seen that happen. If you will, he knew that freedom in this world, while still choosing to be shackled to our old sinful self, leads to, as we heard Paul say in Galatians 5, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. When mankind thinks it is free, but still has the shackles of sin attached, we will abuse that worldly freedom to gratify the desires of our flesh. We may rejoice in freedom, but we're not really free. In that case, we're still bound. But what about us? What about Christians? What is our situation? Even as we live in this free land of the United States, are we really free? And if so, where does that freedom lead us? How do we walk in that freedom? The opening words of our second reading from Galatians 5, it began with just verse 1, and then we skipped down to verse 13. But verse 1 said, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." The true freedom that we have is not freedom from King George or any other earthly ruler that might try to hold us captive. It's not religious freedom, at least not in the way that the Puritans sought it. Rather, true freedom only comes in Christ. It is freedom from the condemnation of our sins. It is freedom from wrath. It is freedom from sin and death. The freedom that we have as Christians is freedom in Christ. And what has Christ done for us? Well, he has freed us from bondage. That's what Christ has done for us. He has taken away all of our sin and the condemnation that comes as a result of our sin. Once we were bound, shackled, like that demoniac man that we heard about in our gospel reading last week. Once we were bound, shackled, but now we've been set free. We've been set loose. The shackles are gone. We have been freed in Christ. We have a new identity. Not one bound in chains, but one who is free. Not one of slavery, but one of sonship, children of our Heavenly Father. This is our baptismal identity, as those who have been baptized into Christ. When we were plunged into the waters of holy baptism, or sprinkled with the waters of holy baptism, our shackles were broken. Our sinful self was drowned, and we were born anew. We were set free. Your identity is now not one who is in bondage to sin, but your identity is now one who has been made new. born of the Holy Spirit, and holy in the sight of God. Your shackles are gone. You are free from the consequences of sin and judgment, and the judgment and death that accompany your sin. But we often abuse our freedoms, don't we? We prefer life and shackles sometimes. You know, there are countless stories about men and women who are spending time, after spending time in prison and get out of prison and now are free, they immediately find a way to get back inside. I'm sure you've heard such stories. They don't know how to function otherwise. I remember a teacher I had in high school who told us about his brother. His brother had been in prison for drugs and larceny and other things. And he got out. And he got out and he didn't know what to do. And the next day, after getting out of prison, the next day, he robbed his parents, his own parents, at gunpoint. Why? He wanted to go back on the inside. He wanted to exchange his freedom for that orange jumpsuit and bars. He wanted to submit himself again to the yoke of slavery, to the chains that come with someone who is not free. And we often do the same kind of thing. While we still sin in this world, our shackles have been removed. We've been set free. We've been set free from sin and death. We've been set free from the condemnation of the law. We've been set free in Christ from divine judgment. We've been set free and transferred from the domain of darkness and death into the kingdom of light and life. But yet we run back again and again and try to submit ourselves to a yoke of slavery. We try to continue to live as we once were rather than those freed and rescued, the rescued and released people of God. We're like the people of Israel wandering in the wilderness, freed from slavery in the hands of Pharaoh, and yet wanting to go back, wanting to return. So how are we to use our freedom in Jesus Christ? The liberated life is now freedom to do the things of God. That's what we're free to do. We are now free to do the things of God, not free to do the things that we once were doing, not free to sin, to continue on sin, knowing that grace may abound, but freedom to do the things of God. It is freedom to worship Him without fear. It is freedom to live out our lives in this world without the fear that when we fall short, when we sin, that the guillotine will fall on our heads, that we'll be condemned to hell. No, that guillotine's been removed. Those shackles are gone. That condemnation is gone. And now we are free, free to do the things that God has called us to do, free to follow the law of God without fear of condemnation. Now we are new people in God. Now we've been set free in Christ, and we are to walk in that newness of life, as St. Paul tells the Romans in Romans chapter 6. We've been made alive in the Holy Spirit. We once were of the flesh, that is, born into sin, born into bondage, hostile toward God and His will. That's how we once were outside of Christ. But now in Christ, we've been born of the Spirit. We've been born free, reconciled to God. Now, just so we're clear, that doesn't mean that we don't sin any longer. I hope that we're clear on that. It does mean that we're no longer in bondage to that sin. That sin no longer is what defines us, even though it might feel like it sometimes. But those chains have been taken away from us. Those chains have been broken. They've been shattered. We still sin this side of eternity as we still battle, as we still fight. But the freedom in Christ Jesus already belongs to us. It's already ours. We are no longer slaves, but freed children of God. But like the people of Israel in the wilderness or my high school teacher's brother, we often submit ourselves to slavery. We often forget that we're free, and we place ourselves in bondage, pretending to put on shackles that have already been shattered, thinking that we like the look of orange jumpsuits. Christian freedom means walking by the Spirit. The Christian life is one empowered by the Holy Spirit to overcome the prison of the flesh. And the fruit of walking by the Spirit is exactly what we heard in our text, those fruit of the Spirit that many of you know well: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And listen to those words that Paul says: against such things there is no law. But when we look at the two lists in our readings from Galatians 5, one pointing us to the work of the flesh and the other to the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we might conclude that we're more often living in the flesh than we are living by the Spirit. There is a difference, just so we're clear, between sinning and walking according to the flesh. That is, that there's a difference between falling into sin and living purposely in a pattern of sin. We're all sinners. If we say we aren't, we're liars, and we make God out to be a liar, as St. John says in 1 John. But we are redeemed sinners. We are those who have been set free and washed clean. That sinful nature, though it creeps up and we wrestle and fight against it daily, it's not us anymore. It's not what defines us. We're the free, beloved children of God. So how do we walk as children of God? How do we walk by the Spirit? First, I would say repent. Repent. The daily life of the Christian should be one of repentance. Remember daily who you are in Christ Jesus, what the work of the Holy Spirit is in your life, and turn away from your wickedness. Remember your baptism. That is, daily repent of your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and his work in your lives. This is what it means to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. It means to not purposefully give in and gratify the desires of the flesh, living in this sinful life, but to daily fight against it, even when we're falling into it, daily fight against it and daily turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for the things that I've done. Help me to live in this new life that you have given to me. Help me not submit myself again to a yoke of slavery. Help me, Lord, to turn to you. May your Holy Spirit lead and guide me. Lord, I only have salvation by your grace and your mercy. Change my heart, O God. Luther said, the old Adam, that is our sinful nature, that old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires. That's our calling as we walk by the Spirit. It's a daily turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been crucified in Christ. You have risen me to new life in you. Put to death in me these sinful thoughts and desires. Put to death in me these things that my old nature desires. And Lord, forgive me and help me to walk according to your Spirit. So turn to the Lord and repent. Let not the devil have a foothold. Let not sin have its way with you, but confess to the Lord and seek the life and the Spirit that only he can give to us. This should be our daily practice. Not because you're not a Christian if this isn't your daily practice, but because we are prone to abuse of our freedoms when we think nothing of our sins. So rather than letting ourselves slip into that bondage, slip into that slavery, or this idea that we're still in chains, we daily turn to the Lord, reminding ourselves of who we are in him, as his children, as those who have been forgiven, set free. We should be reminded of who we are and seek to use our freedoms to love and to care for our neighbors. That's what St. Paul says in this text today. He says, do not use your freedoms as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. We should use our freedom as a testimony to the goodness of God and His grace in Jesus Christ. We should use our freedoms to build up, edify the body of Christ, showing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, rather than enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, and divisions. Notice one of these things, by the way, holds the body of Christ together, and one of these things tears the body of Christ apart. Your chains are gone. Walk by the Spirit. Let the Lord lead and guide you in what is good. Submit yourselves daily to Him. Be in His Word. And let the Spirit transform you that you might live as you ought. Love as you've been loved by our Lord Jesus Christ. Our old self wants to cause problems. Our old self wants to cause divisions. But that's our old self. You've been made new. You are alive in the Spirit. Walk according to the ways of God. And I know that sounds like law. It's hard, easier said than done. Walk according to the law of God. But it is law that can be lived out without fear by the grace of God in Christ Jesus, who has died so that we might live, and by the work of the Holy Spirit, who leads and guides and empowers us by His Word. Walking in the Spirit means submitting our filth and sins to the Lord where they're washed clean, and praying and seeking His new work in our lives daily by the Holy Spirit. We are free. Free for love. Free from pretending that we are better than others based on the things that we do. Because we're not. And free to serve our Lord and serve our neighbor without fear of condemnation, but in thankfulness and praise for this new life that He has given to us. So you are free. Walk in that freedom. Turn to the Lord and let Him work in and through you each and every day. Amen.